For us to come here off the back of four defeats and get a result is huge, and I think it shows an insight into the character of this team.
That's the way he's been in training, that's the way he's gone about his stuff. Everything he's done has had an intensity and aggression to it.
Overall, the 90 minutes, like I say, the people who have been at this football club previously and are here now deserve better than that.
We turned the clocks back last week, I thought. Apparently not.
I'm Gabby Amos, the physio at Carmarthen Town, and you are listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Weber and Jonah.
Barry Town rolling back the years by beating TNS at Park Hall 1-0. We've got all the opinion you can muster on that with Jonah in a second, but there's only one man we really want to hear from first off on that. Gavin Chesterfield.
You've got to put in context, you know, you're up against a very good team. A very good club who's a winning machine at the moment, you know. So for us to come here off the back of four defeats and get a result is huge, and I think it shows sort of you know, an insight into the character of this team, you know. Never looking for excuses, always looking for the next challenge, and you know, that I'm really proud of. You know, the lads bought into a game plan to come here and stuck to it diligently. You always know when you come to a place like this against a team like that, who I have to say are an absolute credit. You know, you're going to concede sort of pressure and ground, and you have to ride your luck at times. But I think the thing that was different today was that we took our chance and we defended, you know, to a man absolutely magnificently. People ask me, you know, what's the next one? The next one is that we train on Tuesday night. That's all I can control, is we train well Tuesday, we train well Thursday. We'll give it our best against Llandudno next Saturday. And, you know, you put a couple of runs, put a couple of wins together in this league, and it soon gets you up there, you know. But all we can focus on now is looking forward to Tuesday night.
So, Jonah, we've gone back to the old days when Barry beat TNS.
It's a brilliant result for Gavin Chesterfield and the Linnets, as we, me and you, anyway, still call them, their official nickname. It's a great result for them. They went through a rocky period of late, only scoring one goal in their last five games. But to be fair to Chesterfield, he was upbeat after every game, saying his team were playing well anyway, and they were capable of going to anywhere and getting a result. And he's been proved. It's been proved they've gone to Park Hall, the hardest place to go. You know, not this season, not last season. For the last, you know, six seasons, they've been champions, and not many have won at Park Hall. Well, Kane McLaggan goal is. Has got him the win, and that is a fantastic win for them. And a win which could transform their season, by the way. They were drifting a bit, but like I said, he kept faith in his players, he kept faith in his squad and his staff around him, Chesterfield, and he was proved right. It's a fantastic win, and we'll see where it takes him from there. The day after you beat TNS, you are on top of the world, and I think he's level-headed, isn't he, Chesterfield? He's a bright lad. He won't let it go to his players' heads. But as for morale, like you said, it is absolutely tremendous. It at present, I can only put it in it'd be like you know, West Ham or somebody going to Man City and getting a win. It's a brilliant win. It's a fantastic win, and I hope his players enjoyed it, because it might be a long time before it happens again. You know, travelling to the champions and getting a win like that. But once again, I have to stress, I think it's one which could turn their season, and it might make them challenge for the top six. It might make sure they're safe from any danger of relegation. But it's a great positive result, and well done.
What does it say about TNS? I suppose we've talked a lot about the Barry side of this. Iron Brew Cup match against Queen of the South coming up. How do you think they're going to do on that?
It's obviously a blip for Scott and for Evo. But at this stage last week, you know, they could have gone 6 or 7 points clear if they'd have won this weekend, and results could have gone their way against other teams. So they'll still think they're on track. They're still joint top of the league. They're still in the quarterfinal of the Iron Brew Cup this weekend. They're still in the Welsh Cup, obviously. They're still on for a four-timer, and they'll still believe at Park Hall that they can get a four-timer. So they outside people will be pleased, and we're not being harsh when we say we'll be pleased to Scott or Evo, because most Welsh football fans want to see a contest. and we want to see a contest to the end of the season, whether TNS winning on the last day, whether the Met winning on the last day, whether Connors Quay winning on the last day, but everybody wants to see a contest. But yeah, I suppose there is a lot of scrutiny on Scott and everyone their first season, but they can take it. They've been there before, like I said plenty of times on this podcast. Scott and Evo are serial winners, so they won't let any pressure affect them, even in their first season of managing. And I'm sure they'll hopefully turn the result back around this weekend and get a good win against Queen of the South in the Iron Brew.
Well, let's hear from Scott Rusko.
Anything that we didn't see well today, we will put right and make sure that we're ready and 100% determined and focused on the game on Sunday. A good, experienced side, mixture of youth and experience. They've got Dobby, McFadden, they've got a couple of other lads that have got experience in that division. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test. It's going to be us at 9 and 10s to win that game. Everyone's got to be, you know, on their maximum performance. So, looking forward to the game. It's obviously a different, it's a bit of a break from our league games and what have you, and it's a different challenge for us, which we had a good run in last season, and I want to see that continue this season.
And talk about rolling back the years, let's hear from somebody now who used to play for Llandudno, went to manage Carnarvon, and is now back managing Llandudno. Ewan Williams, how does that sound, Ewan?
Yeah, it's still a bit surreal. It's going to take time to sink in, I think, especially after the whirlwind of a couple of days I've just had. So, yeah, thank you very much for the congratulations, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, look, you're leaving a Carnarvon team who are renowned throughout Welsh football, and you've done a heck of a lot with them. So the offer on the table from Llandudno must have been pretty special. What is it, more money in the January transfer window? What's brought you across?
I think ambition, just complete ambition. I've maintained in the press over the last couple of days and stressed how ambitious and driven I am as an individual, regardless of whether it's in football or within my personal profession. They talk about Europe, trying to get to Europe again and get another dream trip, and I want that. You know that. But there is nothing more than I would like to challenge for an European place and have an European adventure. So it's nothing to do with money. It's nothing to do with loyalty, sentiment. I've spent 2.5 years at Carnarvon running around for other people and thinking about other people. And I think this, at the right time, this offer, it's time to think of myself. And with the club, with Llandudno, the club's ambitions and the facilities and the infrastructure, everything's in place. And it was more to do with ambition other than money.
You've only been there a couple of days, so you'll tell me off for asking this, but do you feel you need to make personnel changes in January?
No, at the moment, no. I don't want to put pressure on any of the current squad. There's some big names there, some really good players, good talent. I think they just need freshening up a little bit, new ideas, maybe a new formation, new tactics, and just a new voice, new ideas. So it's a clean slate for everyone. Everyone's going to get an opportunity to impress. And again, I need to stress that I don't want to put pressure on the shoulders. But I'm hoping they will impress, because there is I'm inheriting a good squad, and that's credit to Alan Morgan, the previous manager. So, looking forward to meeting them all in training tomorrow night, and looking forward to preparing for Barrytown on Saturday.
You are sort of putting pressure on yourself, aren't you? Look, you could have done the job with Carnarvon, taking them up from the Cymru Alliance this season, giving you a chance to stabilise in the Welsh Premier League the next season. But you're now coming into a league this season where, let's face it, 8 teams in that league could possibly get one of the top 6 spaces. It's got tougher, hasn't it? That makes it harder for you.
Yeah, definitely. But my motto in life is I never want to go through life wondering what if. I'd rather take the chance and fail than not take the chance and regret. So it's a fantastic challenge to be able to pluck my wits against your Colin Catons, your Gavin Chesterfields, your Scott Ruskells, and everyone else within the league, because they're all fantastic managers with high qualities. And obviously I think it's healthy for Welsh football that teams are catching up with each other, and you only have to look at this weekend, you know, Barry Town going to TNS and winning, I think it's fantastic. And yeah, people might question it, but you know, my target at Carnarvon when I first took over was to win the league and gain promotion, and I did that in the first year. I won the League Cup twice. I got the club to the semi-final of the Welsh Cup for the first time in 29 years. So, you know, maybe there is that it was time for a new challenge, because there's no guarantees in football, and who's to say that we wouldn't have suffered an injury crisis with Carnarvon going to the final third of the season and Airbus or whoever pipping us to the title. So Llandudno's a club that's been close to my heart for a very long time, having played and captained there for a number of years. So if there was ever going to be a club that would lure me from Carnarvon, it would certainly be Llandudno.
Now, Mrs. Williams, I'm sure will say you've broken many a heart in your life, and you broke a few on Saturday, didn't you, when you announced to the Covey Army you were going. What was that like for you?
Tough. I think I broke my own heart, to be honest, because I haven't slept for probably 4 or 5 days trying to take everything in and trying to gauge people's thoughts, because you know, regardless of what people say, sentiment and loyalty is big for me, and it was gut-wrenching standing in front of the players first and foremost in the changing rooms on Saturday, because they've been with me from, you know, in the trenches from day one, and then obviously walking into the supporters club after the game and facing the questions and you know, the people are disappointed and it's sore, but They've had Barry Town in the Welsh Cup today, which is something that they can look forward to, and I'll always be in here to Sean and Richard who are at the helm now to drive the ship forward, as you like to kind of make that transition a bit easier for them.
John, a big move for Ewan. We know what he can do for Carnarvon. Can he do it for Llandudno?
He's done a great job at Carnarvon over the last couple of seasons, and I'm sure the Carnarvon fans will be a little bit disappointed to lose him, because, you know, what does that say about their, you know, they're going to hopefully get promotion and get back into the league, and he's making the move, but he's done a fine job, right? He's done a great job at Carnarvon. Alan Morgan did a good job at Llandudno, so he has high standards to keep, but it's a challenge for him, obviously, and it's one he wants to take. He wants to get in the Welsh Premier League sooner rather than later. So, you know, welcome into the league, Ewan, and good luck, mate. I would have liked to have seen him, you know, go and take Carnarvon into the top league, and I want to see Carnarvon back in the league, because they're a big club, especially, you know, at this level of football, Carnarvon Town are a big club. So they can, you know, their fans can feel a little bit disappointed, but I'm sure, you know, Llandudno must have studied this, because they, you know, they've got rid of Morgs at a time when they were doing okay, they were sixth in the league, and for him to make that change, it hasn't taken long, so they may have been studying this for a while, and it's happened this week.
Well, we've had the draw for the third round of the JD Welsh Cup after Cwmbron Celtic becoming giant killers against Llanelli, and congratulations to Panteg of Welsh League 3 as well, beating Tonpentra. Jonah, great results by both of them, and what other ties might have caught your eye in the next round of the JD Welsh Cup?
Penobont and Cardiff met, another great, great draw for me. But there's some great ties to look forward to. Well done to Panteg. It's a fantastic, fantastic win for them. And as you said, Cwmbran Celtic. And Mark, this Welsh Cup is the biggest tournament you can play in for most of these clubs. It offers finance. It offers, you know, European football, as simple as that, for whoever wins it. So the finance in winning it comes to up to about £250,000 at least, or thereabouts, but finance down the line for Welsh League clubs, when you start getting into your 2,500, your 5,000s, is big money. So, yeah, it's there to be won, it's there to be shot at the Welsh Cup, and it's still, obviously, on the day, it's the best tournament that these clubs can play in.
Well, there was another bad day at the office for Carmarthen Town. Getting a bit desperate for them now, I suppose. Mark Hazlewood seems pretty clear where the blame lies after that defeat by the Met.
But overall, the 90 minutes, like I say, the people who've been at this football club previously and are here now deserve better than that. And I've made that clear to the players that that is totally unacceptable. And, you know, where do we go from here? We'll say, yeah, but we've got two home games now. It's a load of rubbish. Because if you play with that kind of desire and that kind of energy about you and you make them type of mistakes, it doesn't matter who you play or where you play, you will not win a football match at this level. And so some very serious considerations to be made in terms of players, in terms of everything after that, because the bottom line is we've played 12 games, we've won one and we've drawn one. And as I said to the players, that perhaps, just perhaps, it's the end of the road for some, but that end of the road can't come until January, we all know that. So in the meantime you have to battle down the hatches and try and grind out a result, because at the moment we're a million miles away from the result, if I'm honest.
Jonah Ace seems to suggest there that there might be a clear outcome January. Are some of those Carmarthen players playing for their future now?
Well, it's obvious something, you know, will have to happen at Richmond, because they're struggling at the moment. There's no doubt, you know, I was lucky enough to be there for three and a half years. It's a brilliant club. Ace has been there for a long time. And he'll be hurting at the moment. I've seen him Saturday and you could tell he was hurting him. Neil Smothers and Danny Thomas are all good football people. And they don't want to be rooted at the foot of the First Division and to suffer, 5-0 hammerings on the telly. It's even more, all the football fans in Wales are watching, and when you get turned like they did 5-0. It was surprising because they came out well and they started the first 15 to 20 minutes really well. I thought they're going to have a real go here, but I think I said it Saturday, Cardiff Met, they remind me a little bit of Tottenham Hotspur. They're really sharp on the break. They got a couple of three or four good forwards who love playing on the break, and they're getting plenty of goals now, and they're there to be serious title challengers. Like I said earlier on, themselves, TNS, Connors Key Nomads and Bangor are only 5 or 6 points back in off the pace after last week. We said that could be the end of them, so that's the top of the league. But Carmarthen are cut adrift at the moment, now at the bottom. So Ace needs a bit of magic now, needs a couple of weeks. Their big games coming up now, next couple of weeks, is where they have Newtown at home this week. I think they have Prestatyn at home the week after. That is a must of getting 4 out of 6 at least in them two games. And that, if they could get 4 out of 6 in the next two games, they'll be back on track. And so, there's still light at the end of the tunnel yet. It's not a shining light, but there's still some light there.
And Bangor seem to have got their mojo back a bit, don't they? They're grinding out good results now, beating Newtown away and midweek beating Aberystwyth at home in a very exciting 3-2 game. But going back to that Newtown game, Chris Hughes obviously very disappointed that they lost to Bangor on Saturday. He feels it's the same old story for them.
You know, I'm at 1-1 when we get back in the game. I'm thinking that, you know, we probably looked like the side was going to go on and win it, and momentum was with us. You know, you're thinking even a point, you'd be disappointed with a point. And we've ended up coming away with nothing in the game we certainly should have got something from. And that's been the story so far for our season. You know, silly errors, silly mistakes, really, really, really poor, poor decisions. And that's meant we've lost the game today that, in my opinion, we didn't deserve to lose.
Everybody down around the bottom, Mark, don't make no bones about it, will be worried. The only difference, I think, last year from Newtown to this year, the magnificent spine last year, of Oswald with his 20 goals, Shane Sutton at centre-half, Fletcher in midfield, who was dynamic towards the end of the season when they were on their great run. And that's a big spine taken out of their team. At this level of football, they were three big players. They've all gone on this season to do tremendously well in the English system. So they were a big miss. I'm sure Chris Hughes will believe that he has enough ability there not to get dragged in, and they'll come again. I just watched Scorio now, and they had plenty of chances on the weekend. Again, the ball went in, one goal for Jamie Reid, but he could have had a couple of more. So, like I said a couple of weeks ago, he just needs Reid or somebody to get back on the goal trail. Mitchell and Bounford to start scoring goals again. You know, they just need goals from everywhere to make up for Oswald's goals for last year, and they should be okay. But yeah, they're getting down towards the bottom, and they're going to have a tough ride once again.
And the Nomads continue to chase TNS, and Michael Bakare, one of the new guys there. Andy Morrison says he's growing in stature in that club.
Is it coincidence that he's trained incredibly well the last two or three training sessions? enough to catch my eye, enough for me to think to put him onto the pitch tonight. You know, it is, because that's the way he's been in training. That's the way he's gone about his stuff. Everything he's done is, but had an intensity and aggression to it. And he's shown me that he wants to be part of the group. He comes on tonight, and it isn't coincidence that you score. You know, you get back what you put into football. However hard you work, you get the rewards for that hard work. And tonight he got the goal. And it's a great start to the month. You know, we've got a really tough month coming up. You know, we've got Bala, Cardiff Met, Bangor. We've got TNS in the cup. You know, but it'll be on the back of a fantastic month last month. You know, I think we're the only team in the Welsh Premier League that played six games last month. We're the only team that won four games last month and drew two. So that means we're six games unbeaten. So it'll be really interesting when they do the awards this month for, you know, not manager of the month, for the team of the month. It'll be interesting, you know, who gets it.
Bala doing the business again, and now they're back in form. I suppose there's competition for places again, and Glenn Rule knows he has to fight for a place every time.
I just want to be playing. I knew I had to be patient when I signed, and knew Colin had a good, strong squad, so I had to be patient. I had to keep knocking at the door and keep working hard in training, and I've had my chance, and hopefully I get more game time if I keep taking my chances. I think if we keep ourselves tight at the back, I think we've got enough attacking players and enough players to create chances and hopefully grab a few more goals in the next couple of weeks.
We have to say congratulations to two managers in this podcast. We have to say congratulations to Hugh Griffiths, who got Manager of the Month for last month, although the curse of Manager of the Month seemed to have struck a bit early for him, because he got the Manager of the Month award after they lost to Aberystwyth. We also need to say congratulations to a very special manager who I thought we'd never heard of again. I thought we'd never hear from again, but Craig Harrison, I know you're listening. You promised me you'd still be listening to this podcast. Got Manager of the Month for the Vanarama National League last month. Congratulations, Craig. And great to see two managers doing really well there, Jonah.
Well done, Craig. Well done, Huey, as well. Well done, Huey Griffiths. It's great to see, you know, one of the Manager of the Month for one of the smaller clubs, shall we say. And he's done tremendous, Huey. He'd be disappointed with Friday evening getting beat, because they had a lot of chances in the first half. But hey, he's got Manager of the Month, and that's a great accolade for him with all the work he puts in at Kevin Druids. And Craig Harrison, once again, he had a tough start. Everybody was waiting for, you know, Jeff Stelling. They said, oh, be careful, Jeff Stelling is after you. He'll, you know, they want another manager, they want success quickly. And but brilliant stuff from Craig. His time and his experience at TNS with that group of players, and the way they built the TNS club and kept it going, will only stand him in good stead at Hartlepool. So fantastic, Craig. If you're listening, well done from everybody at the podcast. And give us a smile, Craig, because you never used to give us too many.
So we'll look ahead to the weekend games in a second. Let's turn to the second part now of Jonah's interview with Christian Edwards from Cardiff Met. Last week it was mostly about the Met. This week it's about everyone else.
It's getting so tight, this league, that it's hard to pick a top three, a top six, a top ten, or a bottom two. It really is. This league has improved. And that's I might go on, you know, to a next question there. You played 400 professional league games, and people mustn't forget that wonderful career, which, in, you know, also included playing for Wales, playing for Nottingham Forest, playing for Bristol
Rovers.
Bristol Rovers, fantastic football league career. How do you think progression from this league? Do you think it's a good stepping stone for players to enhance their careers?
I think so. I think the clubs and the league itself is trying to make the clubs more professional, and the more we can do that within the league, I think it just gives the players a better chance of making a step up. Maybe there's a little bit of arrogance and snobbery from the Football League club not wanting to step and look into the Welsh Premier League. But you showed it with a big lad at TNS this season, has moved on to Blackpool. I thought last year there's a few pro clubs could have looked at him, particularly at the bottom end of Div 2.
Yes, got quickly.
Yes, League 2. I thought he was a real threat. He's a big lad, he's got pace. There's a few questions on whether he was brave enough, but I'd have taken a punt on him if I was in League 2. And, you know, Henry Jones has moved on out of the league. Yeah, and you look at some of the TNS boys, but there's some other lads at other clubs as well that catch the eye. The problem, I think, is the consistency. If the players can be more consistent on performance, I think that's the difference between the pro game and the level at the moment we're playing, is the consistency of performance. Ryan Wignall at Connors Quay, for example.
Decent player.
Very, very good player. And he's had a taste of it at Liverpool. And there's no reason why he can't go back. He's just got to be consistent in performance. So the league is getting stronger. The league's getting better. It's being pushed in the right direction. So, yeah, I think there is definitely progression for those boys in the league.
Finally, Chris, I'll just ask you, you could be in the mix this year for Europe, it's why you've been building too. When do you think one of our teams could progress to the next stages in a European competition? We all enjoy, you know, a couple of teams have had good results in the first round, got knocked out in the second round, TNS. You know, TNS are the example for this league. It would be a massive thing for us to progress to the next stage, to group stages. How long before a Welsh team could do that, Chris?
Very soon, I think, to be honest. TNS are always pushing the boundaries in the league, and within doing that, Connors Key, Ballard have made sure they've stepped up their efforts to close the gap, and I think then beyond that, Bangor are doing the same. Other clubs like ourselves are trying to push those boundaries so we don't lose that amount of ability behind those guys. I think it's important to, you know, I've been criticised in the past for suggesting that maybe we should be asking the likes of TNS, Colin at Bangor, sorry, at Ballard, sorry, Andy at Connorsky, what would they like? Because they're the teams that are pushing the league further. At times, you know, you could we do have an experiment and maybe go to a summer league in order that our teams are prepared and are not exhausted at the end of a season? But I think it would be important to ask those guys what they would like. That doesn't mean you disrespect the rest of them, you know, the rest of the teams in the league. But I do think it's just a matter of time before probably TNS at the moment do break into that gap. But they've got to keep on pressing away. The whole league's got to make sure they're better. The national game's got to make itself better. If the national team can keep on their consistency of performance, it allows us to have those coefficient points, etc., whatever, however they make up the system, which gives us more spaces in Europe. And I'm sure then the teams will step into those spaces and do their best for the league.
And lots of football to watch this weekend. Ballardtown against Connors Key Nomads, probably the game that catches our eye the most because of the history of the two teams, but also because they're doing quite well for themselves at the moment, aren't they, Jonah? What do you think is going to happen in that game?
It has, and they are right up there. There's no doubt they're challenging all the way, and Morrison has set his team out this season. If he can keep everybody fit, that's the thing about the Nomads. They haven't got a massive squad with lots of cover. His beginning of the season was a little bit shaky because of his lack of centre-halves, but his defence is right now. Ryan Wignall's back playing. He just edged out in the player of the month, I think, to Elliot Evans, who we obviously got to say well done to as well. Well done, Elliot, on getting your player of the month. But this is a big game. Connors Key and Ballard are always, I shan't say at each other's throats, but it's always got a bit of edge on the game because they know they're always going to be vying for maybe second. So it might have a bit more on it this season because Ballard are on a great run, four wins in a row. So to make a five wins in a row against Connors Key would be magnificent. But every game Connors Key play now, they're making it a title battle. So, yeah, no doubt game of the weekend, and it's a tough one to call.
And then on the Saturday, we've got Barry Town against Llandudno, Carmarthen Town against Newtown, and Prestatyn against Met. And that's your lot. We'll be back with a review of all of those games and more besides, hopefully, next week. Say goodbye, Jonah.
All the best, Mark, and good luck at Dundee United, and I hope to see him playing TNS in the final.